Introduce the next speaker, Dr. Josefa Hipólito Shepherd. She's a public health scientist dedicated to the development of health promotion and health education programs and projects in various settings. Currently, she collaborates with universities worldwide for the development of a new project on health promotion universities. Until July of this year, Dr. Hipólito was the Pan American Health Organization Advisor on Health Promotion for the Caribbean region, based on Barbados. Before this assignment, she was the Regional Advisor on Health Promotion and the Team Leader on Health Promotion, Schools and Social Development, based in Washington, D.C. Also, for all of you, Dr. Hipólito is the editor of the newsletter of the International Health Section of the Association for the last 9 years. Then, if you are interested to publish some of your experiences, it's very good that you could contact Dr. Hipólito. She will be sharing with us her experience and work on health education within the context of health promotion.
Thank you, Carlos. Good afternoon, everybody. Before I start, I want to emphasize the importance of documenting all these experiences, and I invite each of the members, if you send me a short summary of your work, I promise to include it in the next issue of the newsletter. Okay? So, I'd like to have an outline of what I will be presenting in this in the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I like to do definitions so we understand what, when I talk about health, what I'm talking about. So I will be defining health, the concept of prevention versus health promotion, what is health promotion, and what is health education. And I challenge you, just if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, to just kind of jot down very fast what you think those definitions are. And then when we have a little bit of discussion, perhaps you can see if you agree with the definitions I present or why your definitions are so different. It's something to think about. I will also talk a little bit of why comprehensive and integrated health education. I will present a conceptual framework where health education is an integral part as a component for comprehensive health education. And I will provide very few examples of health education and health promotion in different academic settings. So the first definition, I decided to look at the Ottawa Charter, 1986, where the concept of health promotion is defined. And health, according to the Charter, is a resource for everyday life, an emphasized resource, a positive concept that emphasizes social and personal resources as well as physical capabilities. Please note in this definition, again, the word resource, and I'm not talking a state of well-being, I'm talking specifically as a tool where we can have good health. Then I'd like to use this slide because sometimes we talk about health education and we emphasize the concept of prevention. And the concept of health promotion, which is more holistic approach, it goes beyond just the averting and occurrence of illnesses and halting its progression. So the concept of health promotion focuses on empowerment and in developing personal skills in creating supportive environments. And I'm going to address that a little bit more as I go through. Emphasize this is by Breslow, this definition. Health promotion, again, I went to the Ottawa Charter. And if you think about all these definitions, they are kind of flow from the concept of health to the health promotion. So health promotion is a process of enabling people to control over and to improve their health. In the last definition, I was back to my book, to my basic books, when I was doing my PhD in health education, and I was reading Larry Green, a good colleague and friend, that in the beginning of his book, he says there are many definitions of health education as there are health educators. So anyway, I picked up this definition, but I'm sure you may have your own definition. So health education is any design, combinations of methods to facilitate voluntary adaptations of behavior conducive to health. So why do we need comprehensive, integrated, and sustainable health education? So I copied some of this, and one of my dear colleagues is here. I acknowledge some of these pictures of hers. When we design comprehensive health education, we need to address targets. I mean, these are high school students, elementary school students, kindergarten students, teachers, parents, perhaps children that are not in school. So we need to look at the comprehensive cohort that we're addressing. We also need to look at the settings. We need to see where the children come from when we do that education. What do they do when they take breaks? What do we do for the teachers? Teachers are part of this comprehensive health education. It's not just for the children, for the students, but also for the teachers. The parents. Children are not in isolation. Children live with their parents and in a community. So it's very important that the parents are included in this health education. And the children that perhaps, I'm sure there's children in school, but you know, we may address children that are at school. So the schools are part of a community setting. So we need to include in this health education the different settings. You know, one thing is very important, the concept of the prevention versus health promotion. Sometimes when we address prevention issue, we talk about that some of the issues we're addressing here to prevent disease and illness. But if we look at what risk factors there are, they go really beyond those basic elements of disease prevention. Look at the use of alcohol. This is based on a survey that is being done in the school setting, and these are some of the results in a 2004 survey in these three different countries. The major issues are what are called external factors, okay? And this is use of alcohol, sexual activity, physical fights in the school setting, bullying. It's an epidemic right now. And how children and adolescents feel about taking their own life sometimes. But also we might look at protective factors that we need to consider. For example, in the three countries that they were looked at, a protective factor could be where are the children when they are not in school? Why are they missing classes? How do children feel about around with their peers? Are they happy being in their own schools? And also another protective factor is being looked at is what is the relationship between children and their parents and other guardians? Well, I took this from internet, and I wanted to kind of look when we design comprehensive health education, going to the earlier slides that I presented. Look at the sector. I mean, when I do, this picture is from Germany. This is food for 1 week, 1 week. And in Germany, the cost of food is over $500 for that week's food. This is the U.S. It's a little bit less. Italy, see if I remember all of them. Poland, and this is in Mexico. So when you design health education program, if you want to look, for example, if you understand a project, obesity right now is an epidemic worldwide. Not that, fortunately, none of these people look obese. It's wonderful. They must be doing a lot of exercise. So when you look and you're going to be designing a project in health education, you want to look at your target population. And I'm going to specify just with the food. So you want to talk about you give the education of what kind of foods are healthy, how do you prepare them. You want to design that in order to have this healthy food. I mean, and you may look look at Mexico, I love this, all these fruits. You know, in this case in Italy too, you know, very few soda, whatever. But, you know, look in here. You know, this is our country. It's a lot of processed food, a lot of soda. You know, the same thing for Germany. I mean, but no, this is water, so it's very healthy. I'm sorry? Yeah. No, it's very interesting, you know, to see this, how you're going to design this health education program. Well, let's change a little bit from very well-to-do. And this is about from, I would say, between $700 US to about $200 US a week. Now, the number of the family is different. As you can see, there are the members, so the cost may be a little bit depending on the size of the family. But this one here is four people, two adults and two children, is about $700 US, maybe the cost of the beer. So, but let's change a little bit. I tried to picture this from an international perspective. This is Bhutan, this is Chad, Egypt, and Ecuador. And I don't remember exactly which one of them, but one of this, I think it was Chad, it was $1.25 for the whole week food. So when you're going to be designing a comprehensive health education program, so you have to address the people, the background, the culture, what kind of food they eat, their educational level, where they live. I mean, if you teach these people and you say, I'm just giving an example. If we're going to teach these people that, you know, we have to cook the food, we have to boil the water to drink and all of that. You know, I don't see any cooking elements here. I don't see any wood. What do you think they would be cooking? I mean, if we tell them, okay, you have to boil your water. Look, they have a bottle of water for 1 week. 1 week, a bottle of water. So, yeah, these people, I'm sure they have water. I don't see a water bottle in here, and the same thing with this. But look at the different food. So anyway, for a comprehensive health education program, so you have to address not only giving the knowledge of the different food that are healthy, in this case I'm addressing food issues, but also you have to think about the environment. How would they prepare that food to be healthy food that is not contaminated? In here, I can see some cooking utensils. So, and look at the family. I mean, I'm amazed. You know, it was addressed here in the last presentation. That people realize even there is poverty, there's people still happy. You know, they are addressing their condition wherever they live. So very fast. Where do we do this comprehensive health education? So for the last few years, I have been addressing health education in the school setting and in the university setting. So the health promoting schools and health promoting universities are two initiatives that have been promoted by the World Health Organizations. And these are strategies directed to strengthen health promotion and health education where children, parents, teachers, and other members of the academic or community live, work, and play. This is a model that was developed specifically for the Health Promoting School Initiative. And very fast in here, in this model, health education is one of four major components to be able to reach sustainable human development. This is what is called integrated health education. And it's integrated because you not only give the knowledge, but you also teach skills to apply that knowledge. The second component is the healthy setting component. And the idea is that when you do something in this component, it has to be provided by the environment. So if you teach that, for example, that to eat healthy food, when you go to the environment, that healthy food, for example, if it's in the school or the university, has to be available. And also you have to provide nutrition and active life in the case of food. And the three components in this conceptual framework are united by a public health policies. For example, I'll give you one example. If you teach in the school that cola products are not good, You have to provide the knowledge that it's better to drink water. In the environment, then you have to have access to water or juices, not only cola products, if you're in the school or university setting. And the same thing, if you teach here that you have to have active life, then the school setting or the university setting has to have spaces for walking or for to do exercises. If in the health public policy, as an example, if you teach that cola or sugar products are not good, that there should be a policy in the school not to have those products. So there was a survey done in 2003 that showed for the health promoting school initiative how many in the American region, Latin America in particular, adopted this health promoting school initiative. I'm just showing you some examples. All these publications are available if you want to have more specific. One basic component to have a health promoting schools and a health promoting university is to have a collaboration between the health and education sector. It's not a ownership of either sector. It's a collaboration among the sectors. And this survey showed that 64% of the countries that participated, 90% of the invited population participated, 64% is doing this. These are very few examples of what I have been doing in countries for health promoting schools. I'm just going to address some of them. There is very little time. What I want to address is the health promoting university, which is what I am dedicating most of my time now. As an independent consultant, is the development of this health promotion concept at the university setting. In Canada, this is in alphabetical order, so Canada, in Edmonton, University of Alberta, carried this second meeting for the development of health-promoting universities. Chile had the first meeting in 2003, and what was very interesting in this meeting is that it was unanimously that the university participants adopted this conceptual framework for the development of health-promoting schools, but it was adopted for universities. And these are mostly examples for health-promoting schools. So Mexico last year had the third meeting in Ciudad Juarez, and it was very successful, and it was very, not only was very successful, it was kind of a pivotal force to go beyond the Americas. This meeting started international, and there were participants from Spain, and they got so excited about this that they decided, they asked the participant to go from health promoting university for this region of the Americas to be an Ibero-American meeting. And they asked before we all know if they could carry it out in Spain. And so the next meeting is going to be in Pamplona, Spain in 2009. So an invitation for all of you to be at that meeting, especially the university sector. And the table in here, that the training for physicians and all the students that are going to different countries, is the university setting is very important, because not only you can implement this health-promoting concept at the university setting, but also university is a training center for having this health promotion concept implemented. So these are some of the publications that PAHO WHO has done for the last 8 years. All of these are online. I invite you, if you're interested in this concept, to go online and look for health promoting schools, health promoting university, and should be able to access them. Very fast, these are some examples of the health promoting university, and this is Universidad Católica de Chile in Santiago when it was carried out the first meeting. And some of the slides you have seen, and this is a group that has been leader for the development of health promoting schools and also working with health promoting university. And some of our colleagues are here, so you can identify them and ask questions to them if you're interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for all the presenters. We have some time for specific questions that you want to address to them. Sorry. Okay. Any question? Yes. Any other question? Yes.
In the western area as well of China. And then I know that we're in the process of trying to get funding for the barefoot doctors to actually train them on diabetes education as well. So it is in the works, but currently there is no program right now.
Mm-hmm. Any other question? Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure I heard the question. You said why is so important the collaboration between health and education sectors?
Considering that, what would be the greatest challenge to sustaining the initiative?
Okay. I was supposed to repeat the question, so because this the session is being recorded. Dr. Cerqueira as being so important between the collaboration between the health and education sector, what is the main challenge for this to happen? Well, my first degree a long time ago was coming from the education sector, and it's a very, very strong sector. And then going on, I went to the medical sector and then more to the to what I call the health sector. The main challenge is that these two sectors are totally independent and very strong sectors. Okay, now what happens is that when we do health education, okay, health education is, and we do it, for example, in the school setting, because it's health, the Ministry of Health gets, the health sector gets involved. But it's actually doing it in, for the educational sector. So the biggest challenge is not to do into that sector, but is to work together to develop this comprehensive, and I like to use the word sustainable, programs. And in order to be sustainable, they do have a, they have to work together, and they have to develop these plans and these curriculums that will be able to be implemented through time. It's not a one time. And that's a big difference between prevention interventions in comprehensive health education. That's the biggest challenge to me, that when you're going to be developing these comprehensive health education programs are continuum in time, and it's not a just one-time event. I don't know if you Dr. Cerqueira is, she is, we really collaborated for a long time, and she's really the person who has really promoted health promotion in the Americas. So I don't know if you want to add some more.
Thank you. Any other question? The panelists wants to ask or give any additional question to your colleagues? No?
Can I do have a question.
Okay.
Yes, how many of you are physicians here? Three. Okay, I would like to pose as a question. We have a few minutes for discussion. And you are in the university setting, and you are too, but you're not a physician. What would you say would be the best way to work together for the development of this health promoting universities in your setting? Because you have this very powerful role, but how can you implement this holistic approach to health in your setting?
Well, I think we have to start from medical school, a time that really students are introduced to the concept of clinical medicine. And I think courses and workshops and creating opportunities for students actually go to the poor resource setting during their medical school and see the impact of the health promotion strategies right at the place and coming back. And so while you're learning, you know, this is diabetes, this is cancer, you know, very individual based, but also how we can prevent them and how we can empower people and how we can really introduce the concept of health promotion. During medical school, I think this is a great place we can do it.
Anyone wants to comment?
I think one thing that's helpful is to get physicians outside of the medical setting. So we, you know, especially in the United States, the medical setting is very like traditional, but it's also kind of like barbaric, and it's hard to foster empowerment and feeling patients. And so, like, as residents, for instance, one thing that's really helpful is to do home visits and like meet people on their terms. And I think that really the
thank you. Yes, please. Want to comment?
Yeah, because it's important.
Okay, but
yeah, this very fast, and it's an excellent observation. The concept of promotion is not just the whole, the minus was the plus, is that if you look at health for people, nobody has perfect health. I mean, you can have some headache one day, and the next day you feel great. So it's a whole spectrum. Health promotion covers, is a look at resource so you can cope with your life. Okay, so that slide was to differentiate when you do prevention, intervention are just very, very specific, while health promotion looks a more a comprehensive approach. Okay, so if you want comprehensive health education, you should address both.
Any other comment? Well, then let me ask you to thank all the presenters with that round of applause. Introducing yourself. I will need a brief description of your title. Yeah.
You asked me, you said thank you for sending me before I left for a page. Do you have access to email?
No. Yes, I don't have access. Well, I need to check then.
Okay. Is that easier?
Because
I
yes, I have it. I have it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Because obviously I can either send you another one or write something up.
Yeah.
I kind of worked on it to make, you know, a bio like this down to 2 seconds.
No. Actually, I have it with me. And I hope you were able to upload your presentation too.
I haven't. I'm going right now.
Yes, please do so.
Yes, I'm going to go right now because I didn't have a chance, you know, the board was due.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened, but I'm going to go ask
right now. Because they would be asking in order to have it. It's not here. It's centralized.
Then,
it would be very easy to you. I don't remember which room it is, but
28, like around the corner or something.
Like that. Yes, I receive it, and yes, I have it.
Okay, I just got it, so I haven't seen anything besides my office. So I don't know how I'm going to keep it, how close you keep the time.
I keep the if there is no, I need to know how many slides you will have. Okay, because most of the time, 50 minutes is depending on how fast you will go from some of them, because it will take sometimes if more than 1 minute, then you already have 20 something minutes.
But that includes like reproductions, like the disclosure.
Okay.
I'm sure I include the second slide.
Yeah, but you only present it and go because.
Okay, so I don't say anything.
You don't need to.
Yeah.
Yes, no, you don't need to. You only include it, and that's okay. I will remind you if your time is almost of 3 minutes, I will give you 3 minutes notice that you have left only 3 minutes, then you will adjust the time.
Now that's based on the 15 minutes and 20, because I know like this session you are only 15 each. Our session you are 20 each. So I'm a little confused. Are we allowed?
No, it's the 20 is dependent. I thought that was 20, but I need to check because depending, I think the session it's 15, but I need to check again. Let me see here.
Exactly. So 12:30 and then 20 minutes later.
Yes, it's 20. It's 20.
Okay, so my
will be 20.
20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you give me the other one, 3 minutes warning, and you have 18 minutes. Not at 12. Okay, good. Okay.
And you need to relax because you are very tense. I don't know why.
I've never done this before.
Well, but that's you are doing.
It's not like the president of the United States and the United Nations, but still, you know.
Sure.
So that's why I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Now, from here, since I go first, like I said.
You need only to.
Okay.
And that's it.
That's it.
I will. Set for you, and you move it from here.
Got it. For next or for previous?
Yeah. And Yeah, with this.
Got it. And I noticed the lady was able to move around the mouse and show.
Yes. You could use this or even this if you need to return.
Got it.
Yeah,
got
this.
Okay.
So easy.
I'll go upload later. Right,
okay,
now.
Please do so that. Take
care. Nice, because only go come here 10 minutes and I have
okay.
20.
Sure. Sure.
Thank you.
No, I'm through now.
Okay.
It's my second presentation. But yeah, the giraffe.